There was no Christmas celebration in Washington, D.C. this year. Sad, the whole city did not celebrate Christmas. You see, they couldn't find three wise men in the whole city. But this morning, we get the wise men. This morning, we see those wise men as they make their journey from the east. We don't know a lot about the wise men. Scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot of information about them. It does say they're from the east. They are probably from Persia or some country there, which would be like Iran today. They obviously knew about some of the Old Testament prophecies. They knew about the prophet Micah and probably some of the prophecies in Daniel, how it foretold of the Christ child's birth and there'd be a star to lead them. They were studiers of the stars. They were astrologers. And so they were fascinated, obviously. They knew that it was time for the Savior's, the Messiah's birth. They probably didn't arrive for the Savior's birth, but they were probably weeks, months, maybe even a year, up to a year and a half or 2 years after the birth of Christ. It says in Matthew chapter 2 that they arrived and they worshiped, they found Jesus in the house. So it gives us indication that Mary and Joseph obviously came back from Bethlehem to Nazareth, and then the wise men made it to the house where baby Jesus was at the time. But we do know they had a long trek, a long journey. They probably traveled 800-900 miles to get to the Messiah. So the wise men had this long, hard journey. 800, 900 miles. And think about that for a moment on camels, how difficult that would be. Now, today, even, you know, when we have cars, we can travel, we could possibly do 800 miles maybe in a day, but more like a day and a half, 2 days, if you can, you know, not go too fast along the interstate, 60, 65, or 85, or 90 miles an hour, you can get 800 miles maybe done in a day. But back then, it would have taken a long, long time. And so these wise men had this long, long, hard journey. And I would venture to guess during some of that trip, during some of that travel, they had to wonder sometimes, why are we doing this? Why are we really chasing after or going to find this king? I mean, it's getting too tough. You know, my behind is a little bit sore from riding on this camel for so long. I'm getting sore. I'm getting stiff. You know, it's not an easy trek. There was probably some hills and valleys to go up and down in their trip. And they had to be thinking, why? Some days they had to wonder, is it really worth it? Well, as we look at that journey for the wise men, we can think to and relate it to our lives as Christians. Our lives as Christians are not always easy. In fact, sometimes our lives as Christians are seen exactly as the wise men's journey. It is seen as a tough journey. It's seen as a hard life. Jesus tells us to pick up our cross, be willing to follow him. It's not going to be a bed of roses this side of heaven as we follow Jesus. And so, just like the wise men, too. They went up and down some peaks and valleys. We as Christians will go through some peaks and valleys in our lives as well. And you can think about some of those times, those peaks in our Christian life. Those times where you just felt the presence of Christ with you. You just knew that God was with you, and you just feel so connected to him. You're so close in the spirit with him, and you just had this warm feeling that came upon you, knowing in the presence of the Lord. For me, it happens on Christmas Eve, as we get those candles portraying the light of the world in Christ, and we sing Silent Night, knowing that Christ and his Spirit is here among us and his people. For the disciples, John, Peter, and James, it probably happened on Transfiguration as they saw Jesus glowing in all his brilliance there on the mountain. They really felt in the presence of God himself. But like those peaks in our Christian life, there are those valleys as well. There's those times when we feel like, is Jesus, is God really caring about me? As a tough time comes, we wonder if God really truly cares about us. God, do you really care that I'm hurting? God, you seem like you're thousands of miles, maybe millions of miles away from me, and you don't seem to really care about me. As we go through our Christian lives this side of heaven, there's going to be those peaks. There's going to be those valleys where we feel like the wise men. And we say, is this journey really worth it? But the wise men kept focused on their goal. Their goal was to get to the Messiah. And our goal as we journey through life is to stay focused on Christ, to stay focused on his promises that he will be with us. He will get us through those valleys as we look to him for strength and as we look to him for comfort. Well, those wise men finally got to the Christ child. And what they did then when they arrived and saw Jesus, they worshiped him. The wise men worshiped the newborn king and they brought him gifts. So what's that say about worship? It says how important worship is, isn't it? The wise men journeyed for 800 miles to worship this newborn king. And we gather this morning together to worship our newborn king. Worship is important. We should have it as a priority in our life. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are all here in worship. You make it a priority in your life to worship the Lord. But there are so many who don't make it a priority. And as we embark on a new year now in 2016, we want to make worship a high priority on our list. And so if other things come up on a Sunday morning, we can say, no, worship is more important. Worshiping our Lord and our Savior should be of utmost importance. The wise men traveled hundreds of miles to worship the newborn king. There was a friend of mine who was a missionary in Africa, and he tells about how the African people, first of all, they would worship for like 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday. Can you imagine that? Okay, we're only going to be here about 50 minutes or an hour. We're not going to go 2 or 3 hours today. Maybe next week we will, but not today. But they would worship for 2 or 3 hours, but people would walk for 2 or 3 hours to get to worship, just to have the opportunity to gather together as God's people. They would be willing to walk for miles to get there. And sometimes we as Americans, I don't want to drive. It's 10 miles down to that church. It just takes me too long, right? We find reasons not to put worship as a high priority in our life. And we need to put that as our high priority. The wise men came with gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We too, as we worship our God, we are here to worship him and to receive the gifts that our Lord has to him. And then as we respond to him, we respond to him with our gifts. Now, of course, the offering is a response to our gift, but so many other ways too, we respond to our Lord with our gifts. As we sing our songs, our praises, we lift up our sacrifices, we lift up our voices to God, and we worship him. We give him the gift of song. We praise and glorify him because he has given us those wonderful gifts. We gather in his house of worship to receive the gift of baptism, the gift of the Lord's Supper, the gift of the hearing of our forgiveness, the gift of his word, and all those wonderful gifts that the Lord has for us. We can't help but say, thank you, Lord. And we respond back to him with our thanks and with our praise. And it's not always easy, folks. Worship is not always easy. Look at that word, W-O-R. If you put a K on there, what is it? It's work. And worship is and can be work. It's not always just for us to sit back and soak up all that God has for us to enjoy, but we respond and we work at our worship so we can be glorifying and praising to God with our songs and with our voices as we lift up and sing to our Lord. The wise men put a high priority on worship. And we too are to take that advice from them and worship our Lord. As he has given us his gifts, we respond with gifts of our own. Well, another character, some more characters in the Christmas story, that first Christmas story, was the shepherds. The shepherds certainly had a big part in that first Christmas. And we look at those shepherds, those low people on society's status. It was the low man on the job. The shepherds were seen as these unclean, dirty people, if you will. But yet, the Lord comes to the angels come to the shepherds first, telling of the Messiah's birth. And those shepherds respond in faith as they go and see the Messiah. They respond with a, yeah, come on, let's go and see and worship, and let's go and see the Christ child, what the angels have told us about. Notice they didn't have doubts. They didn't say to each other, you know what, it sounds a little strange, but let's maybe go check it out, see if it's true or not. No, they respond in faith. They respond in faith as they go, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that the Lord has done for us. And then have you ever wondered what happened to their sheep? Here these shepherds are. They come wandering off to go and meet the Christ child. But what about those poor sheep out on the hills? They just left them? They leave them be? The wolves come by and eat them up? Did they wander off? Those shepherds had their priorities. Those shepherds knew what was most important. The shepherds knew that it was most important that they get to Bethlehem and they see that new Messiah. They worship the Christ child. And they left their sheep behind, their livelihood, their whole lives, if you will, left behind on those hills between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, left there. But they had another thing they needed to do. And that was to get to Christ. That was to get to the Messiah. Nothing was going to stop them. They had nothing else on their mind except getting to the Messiah. And that's a great example for us too, isn't it? Whatever we need to leave behind, what is it that we have to sort of forget about and leave on the hills in order to get to the Messiah and put him central focus in our life? What is it that we are willing to leave behind in order to grow more closely into our relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it some hard feelings we have for somebody? Is it some forgiveness that we need to do for somebody? What is it that we need to leave behind? And I challenge you for the year 2016 now to leave those things behind. Leave the things behind that hinder us from really, truly worshiping and praising our Lord and Savior, and things that are stopping you from growing more intimately, closely with our Lord and our Savior. Well, we see the wise men, we see their journey, we see the shepherds leaving their sheep behind. And then there's another character who we don't want to spend much time on because he's evil. Evil King Herod. King Herod, who even Christmas did not positively affect him. We see King Herod telling the wise men, hey, when you find the Christ, when you find this new king of the Jews, let me know so I can come and worship him. Baloney. King Herod didn't want to worship the new king. He wanted to kill him. King Herod had already killed a couple of his sons because he felt threatened that his sons were going to take over his kingship. He would kill whoever was a threat to him and his kingdom. Herod was an evil, terrible individual. And this king of the Jews, a king? Uh-oh, another king? I better have him killed as well. And so he orders this decree that all children 2 years of age and under should be killed. And so he wants the wise men to direct him to where this new king is. Christmas and the coming of Christ didn't affect King Herod at all. It didn't penetrate and work into his hard heart. And folks, unfortunately, there are many people out there in the world where Christmas has not penetrated their hearts as well. We as God's people know what Christmas is all about. It's truly about Jesus becoming one of us and going to the cross for our sins. That's the reason why he was born. He came to be born, to die for us. That's the true meaning of Christmas. But there are so many folks where that doesn't penetrate their heart. They don't care about the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is about, it's getting together with family. It's getting together, some gifts, and it's about having some fellowship and indulging on some food. That's what Christmas is all about, and we get a few days off from work. It's really a great time of the year, and they miss the real true meaning of what Christmas is all about. That is, this Jesus, this Messiah, was born in order to die for us. Yet so many people are unaffected by that, unaffected by the true essence of what it really means, what Christmas is all about. Christmas means our Savior was born in order to die. That's how much God loves us, that he would give up his one and only Son for us, for you and for me, to pay the price for our sin. Well, I hope you had a great Christmas celebration. I hope it was fantastic. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we, unlike Washington, D.C., could celebrate because we had the wise men. We had those men as we looked, as seen them again this morning, their long, hard journey. And we see that our life can be like that as well. But 2016 is going to be full of hills and valleys. But the Lord is with us. He's always going to be there for us as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and his grace and his mercy. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's always going to be there. He'll always be there for us as we worship him too in our songs and in our praises. And that's what the year 2016 has in store for us as we worship our newborn King. Amen. Let's rise and pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the birth, of course, of our Savior Jesus. We thank you that he was born, Lord, in order to pay the price for our sins by dying on the cross for us. Lord, as we journey through our lives, we feel like giving up sometimes as well, just like the wise men, but we look to you and your promise, and we, Lord, want to remain faithful unto death. Till that day that we live forever with you in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.